In our mailbag this week, a complaint about our story from reporter David Darcy on a dispute over the painting Portrait of Vali by Egon Schiele. The artwork was stolen by the Nazis from its Jewish owners. The Museum of Modern Art, or MoMA, in New York, now has the painting, which it got on loan from an Austrian foundation.
MoMA spokeswoman Ruth Kaplan writes that the museum continues to support the return of stolen artwork to rightful owners, as well as the swift resolution of claims for art alleged to have been involved in Nazi looting. However, along with other U.S. art museums, the American Association of Museums, and the Association of Museum Directors, the museum remains concerned that the seizure of artwork on loan to cultural institutions may have a chilling effect on cultural exchange.
My remembrance of Shirley Chisholm prompted a number of you to write in with your memories of the late Congresswoman. In 1972, Chisholm became the first woman to seek the Democratic presidential nomination.
Rosemary Mann of Stockton, California, was just old enough to vote that year. I vividly recall pulling the lever for the first time, she writes, knowing just how unique it was that I, a woman, had the option to vote for a woman to be president. I also knew that I was throwing away my vote, but in the years since, every time I've heard Shirley Chisholm's name mentioned, I revisit that special moment.
John Steinhoff of Madison, Wisconsin, tells us that as a fifth grader in 1972, he was given an assignment to research and write about Shirley Chisholm. He recalls, "I was frustrated that I had to research and write about some woman I had never heard of. What I learned then and what Ms. Block brought back to my memory was the legacy of a brave woman who did great things. What Representative Chisholm sought for all Americans in 1972 are the ideals of peace, equality, and the knowledge that democracy is truly for and by all the people."
We had a report this week about efforts by students at Wells College near Ithaca, New York, to prevent the school from going co-ed. Wells alum and former Board of Trustees member Susan Mills writes that Wells bucked the trend of going co-ed longer than most of the other women's colleges, but found it could no longer continue to exist at its present enrollment numbers, scholarship support, and diminished interest on the part of high school young ladies in single-sex schools.
Ms. Mills continues, "We've grappled seriously with these problems for years, tried many remedies, but had no measurable success. We want our beloved college to thrive, not become an assisted living facility. We are sad, but happy at the prospect of a renewed and vibrant college, and your report captured none of that feeling."
A report on Tuesday took note of the controversy over two songs by the rock band Nickelback, observing similarities between the recent single Someday and an older hit, How You Remind Me. Some critics accused the band of stealing from itself.
"Hey, it's three-chord rock."
This reaction from Kenny Nottingham of Anderson, Indiana.
"Of course it sounds like 100 other songs. If you could copyright a bass line or a rhythm pattern, Willie Dixon and Bo Diddley would be as rich as Bill Gates."
And Robert Waltz of St. Paul, Minnesota adds, "This is a long tradition of songwriters copying tunes. Bob Dylan's Dream uses the folk tune Lady Franklin's Lament. Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land is derived from When the World's on Fire. Roll on Columbia is Goodnight Irene, etc."
And there were some other pointed words in our inbox this week about other borrowed tunes. A number of Yale alumni wrote about our story featuring the University of Oklahoma fight song Boomer Sooner.
From Trace Erden, Yale class of 87, "You neglected to mention that Boomer Sooner was lifted wholesale from one of the great granddaddies of college football songs, Yale's Bula Bula, written in 1900. I don't know how to boomer a sooner, but I do know that when we roughhouse poor old Harvard, they will holler Bula Boo."
Bula or Boomer, you can holler at us, too. Our email address is atc@npr.org. And please let us know where you live and how you pronounce your name.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.